Thank you, Tony. Always love hearing Tony sing. Take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. Tonight we're looking at the last of the seventh of the motivational gifts. There are more spiritual gifts than we've studied, but we've been looking at the motivational gifts in the church. And you look at Romans and you look at chapter 12. And we have seen here down in verse 7, we talked about serving. We talked about teaching, encouragement, and if your gift is giving, he says, give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, he says here, do it cheerfully. A mother had a son who committed a series of crimes, and she went to Napoleon Bonaparte to have him pardoned. When she talked to Napoleon Bonaparte, she said, I realize that he's guilty of all these things. Bonaparte said, because of the justice system, there's not really anything I can do. And she looked at him and said, I'm not looking for justice. I'm looking for mercy. I want you to give him what he really does not deserve. Tonight we're going to look at the gift of mercy. It's interesting that when you go to Romans chapter 12 and you look at these different gifts starting in verse 6, the first gift that we studied is the gift of prophesying, and we said that's spirit-empowered preaching. People with a spiritual gift of prophecy, when they see a problem in your life, they address it straight up. Sometimes it even appears to be very abrasive. Is it not interesting that the first gift is prophecy, which can be abrasive, and the last gift, like a bookend, is mercy? So I'm going to share with you about 16 points here quickly on the gift of mercy, and we're going to close this out in a little different way. First thing I want you to write down very quickly is simply this. Mercy is a gift where sometimes people can be tough on the one hand, but very tender on the other. The person with the gift of mercy is actually a person who brings a whole lot of joy in the body of Christ. And they're people that they sense all around them whether there's truth or somebody is being false in their presence. So the first thing I want you to write down is simply this. They have an ability when they walk up to a person and walk into the middle of a group to sense where there is joy or distress in that individual or that group. They seem to have a spirit of discernment before anybody opens their mouth. They can sense the atmosphere. Second thing I want you to write down is this. They have a tendency to be attracted to and understand people who are having mental and emotional distress. Remember what we said about the gift of service. The gift of service is motivated by meeting needs. A person with a gift of service will see somebody who has a financial need. They don't ask the whys and the wherefores. They just get the money together and meet that need. If you have a person with a gift of teaching, they see somebody, maybe they have a financial need. The gift of teaching doesn't reach for their wallet first. They reach for the Word of God and give the person principles that they can follow to move on out of this particular situation that they're experiencing at the time. But I want you to know that the people who have the gift of mercy are going to attract people that actually have problems. And they're concerned about their emotional, spiritual, and their physical well-being. Tonight, if you have the gift of mercy, the third thing you want to write down, they have a desire to remove hurts and bring healing to others rather than to look for the benefits of the hurts. God wastes no hurts. Sometimes when God allows us to experience some kind of crisis, it may have been because of a bad decision we made or just a circumstance God allowed in our lives, what God is really trying to do is get us to the point where we can only look to Him. God tries to teach us something in every crisis if we'll just listen. Now, the problem sometime with the gift of mercy is the gift of mercy says, I don't want them to experience the full impact of this hurt. I want to come in and insulate them against the full crisis. Does that make sense to you? And what happens is, if the gift of mercy is not careful, they will intervene to the point that the person who's going through the crisis doesn't learn the principles from God that He's trying to teach them. Next thing I want you to write down quickly is simply this. They have a greater concern for mental distress than the physical distress of others. You know, the gift of service is, my goodness, let's just correct that in a hurry. Gift of organization said, we're just going to organize to get your problem all worked out. The gift of mercy could, they're not too concerned about physical things. What they're interested in is the emotional and the inner hurts of a person. Fifth thing I want you to write down, I'll tie all this together in just a minute. The person with the gift of mercy has a sensitivity to words and actions which will hurt others. The gift of mercy doesn't like to be around negative people. They don't like to be around judgmental people. If you're with a person with the gift of mercy and you say something bad about somebody else, especially somebody going through a crisis, they will get in your face. They will correct you immediately because they're concerned, listen, they're concerned about the mental distress, and then they're concerned about the feelings of a person. And notice number six is a tendency to react harshly when intimate friends are rejected. A person with a gift of mercy is very, very loyal. I like a friend that's committed in the good days and in the bad. And so what happens, they're going to react harshly if you're not loyal, if you're not a faithful kind of person. Seventh thing I want you to write down is they have the ability, the gift of mercy, to sense a couple of things. They can sense genuine love from a person. You know, some people are just good at faking it. Well, I want you to know the gift of mercy, they can discern whether you're being sincere or you're just faking love. Now, something I want you to write down about the gift of mercy here is number eight, is that they just need deep friendships where there is mutual commitment. I believe if we really understood the gifts and understood each other and understood ourselves, there would be far, far less of what we see in our society. For example, you know, marriage just gets kind of sloughed off. People say, I've learned this when we have first-time guests, they come to our church and we follow up and I go in a home and I'll say, well, how long have y'all been together? I don't ask them how long you've been married because more than 50% of the time they're not married. They've been living together for a long time and they don't really care. One of the reasons for that in our society is a lack of commitment. An unconditional, self-giving, self-sacrificing kind of love. You see, that's what mercy needs. And when mercy is trying to help somebody, they're going to invest time, they're going to invest resources, they're going to invest energy, and they expect the person that they're helping to be committed to that person with the gift of mercy to try to get them through a crisis. Number nine, there's a need to measure acceptance by physical closeness and quality time together. If you're married, let me share this with you. If your wife has the gift of mercy, she likes to talk and express her feelings and her heart to you. Now suppose she fixes your breakfast, and I know not many people take the paper anymore, but suppose, guys, while you're eating your breakfast and your wife's across from you, you've either got your newspaper in front of you and your wife is trying to talk to you, or you've got your tablet in front of you while you're eating your breakfast and she's talking to you, and she's got the gift of mercy, she may kill you. That is Prestone antifreeze. It's left over in your garage this time of the year, okay? It has a little sweet taste, I understand. And so that's going to happen to you. They want you to express physical closeness and quality time together, and the person with the gift of mercy wants to be heard. Number 10, they have an enjoyment and a unity with those who are sensitive to the needs and feelings of other people. Person with the gift of mercy is not attracted to negative folks. They're not attracted to judgmental folks. They're attracted to other people who have compassion for those that are in need. Write down number 11. A tendency to avoid firmness until they see how it will bring benefit and eliminate greater hurt. So if somebody's going through a difficulty, they come alongside and invest a lot of time to help. Now, the person they're trying to help, they may be experiencing all this because they made a bad decision. The gift of mercy will walk and walk and walk and walk and go the extra mile and the extra mile and the extra mile. And finally, if this person is not cooperating, then they'll get in their face. Number 12. A closing of the spirit to those who are insecure and insensitive. When a person is detected by mercy as being insincere, mercy is willing to get in there and hurt with somebody. They're willing to get in there with their burden. They're willing to take it upon themselves. Mercy walking the spirit's willing to risk loving and risk rejection by others because God has given them that capacity. They can get in the other person. They kind of get inside of them emotionally. They can kind of cuddle them along there. But I want you to know, when they figure out that the person they're trying to help is insincere, then it's over. Now, this is not another point, but I want to just make this very, very clear about the person with the gift of mercy. I've seen parents with the gift of mercy. And they have a child who has a drug problem. They bail them out, and they bail them out again, and they bail them out again. And that child gets to be 20, and that child gets to be 25, and that child gets to be 30, and that child gets to be 35, and that child gets to be 40. And they'll say, because I have the gift of mercy, and this is my child, I've got to keep bailing them out. Ladies and gentlemen, that is an abuse of the gift of mercy. Not doing your children any favor. And a person who's walking in the Spirit with a gift of mercy is finally going to draw a line in the sand and place some conditions on that child and stop trying to intercept all the hurt they're inflicting on themselves and exercise tough love. You say, well, that's easy to say because you don't have children. Well, that might be so. But if you want to look at the Bible-based gift of mercy, you'll see there's a time when you have to draw a line and there's a necessary ending. Now, I want you to write down these things just quickly. A person who has the gift of mercy can be easily misunderstood. For example, the sensitivity to the Spirit and the feelings of other people may cause somebody to look at the gift of mercy and say, listen, they operate on emotion rather than by logic. You ever see somebody that just keeps helping the same person over and over again? You don't have the gift of mercy. You got the gift of have mercy. And you look at the gift of mercy and say, have they lost their mind? Can't they see they're being taken advantage of in this situation? But I want you to know that the gift of mercy is not actually operating all on emotions. They're eaten up with caring and compassion and love and forgiveness, all those kinds of things. But you see, that's a misunderstanding. They're motivated. Their driving motivation is to get on the inside and help the person who's hurting. Number two, when the gift of mercy avoids being firm with somebody going through a crisis, it may appear that the person with the gift of mercy is indecisive and weak. Now, the prophet's going to get in their face. The person with the gift of teaching is going to give principles. The person with the gift of exhortation is going to encourage and give them an ABC 1, 2, 3. The gift of organization is trying to get their life in order over here. But the gift of mercy doesn't rush in. They carefully move in to do what they do. And what the gift of mercy is trying to do is create a healing atmosphere for someone who's going through a crisis. Here's another misunderstanding with a person with the gift of mercy. The sensitivity to words which the mercy gift has and actions which cause hurt may appear to be taking up another person's defense. You're critical of somebody who's made some bad decisions. The gift of mercy is trying to help that person. You over here are critical of that person. They're going to get in between you and the person that has made the bad decision. You see, they want to see the best in that person. And they're going to look at you and say, I don't think you're very kind. And they may be dead right about us, but I want you to know the gift of mercy makes it their business when somebody's being hurt or is hurt to be a barrier there for those people. Number four, the ability to detect insincere motives may cause some to feel they're really hard to get to know. If you're critical of other people, the person with the gift of mercy is going to know you at arm's length. They just going to back off from that kind of person that is hypercritical. Number five, the attraction and understanding of those in distress may be misinterpreted by those of the opposite sex. Let me give you a good example of that. Suppose you're at work and say you're a guy and there's a lady that's going through a marriage problem. You've got the gift of mercy. All right? You've got a good marriage. But you begin to give a listening ear to this lady who's having marriage problems. And you have a love and a compassion for people. You want to help them. You want to coach them along. But I want you to know that this lady over here may misinterpret what you're doing. And the next thing you know, she's seeing something into this that you really don't mean. This is how a lot of affairs get started. And so you keep coming alongside, and next thing you know, you're into something where you have absolutely no business. That happens with the opposite sex. Sometimes you can be talking to somebody about a problem. Maybe it's the opposite sex. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be anything. And you start to try to meet and try to be on their level. And over time, guess what? You slipped into the same thing that they are doing. If you've got the gift of mercy, you've got to be careful how close you get and how you're being interpreted by the opposite sex. The gift of mercy can get in trouble really quick. Now notice the positives of the person with the gift of mercy. When they're walking in the Spirit. First of all, they're attentive. Mercy knows what's happening in their environment. They can sense when they walk up and speak to you whether you're hurting or not. They see it in your face. They hear it in your voice. You don't have to tell them specifically what it is. When they're walking in the Spirit, that's the way they are. Number two, sensitivity. Y'all remember seeing the old AWAC planes with the big radar on the top? They're like people with a big AWAC radar on their head. And they're sensitive to what's going on with people around them. Number three, walking in the Spirit, they're fair. Very, very fair is the gift of mercy. The next thing we'll write down is compassion. They have the capacity to feel and to suffer with other people. You'll see them crying along somebody else that's hurting and crying. They're known for gentleness. They move in gently, lovingly, slowly. They don't see you going through a crisis. They show up, "I'm here to help." They don't do that. They'll do that slowly and gently. And then deference. That is, they're willing to submit, to give the right to someone else, respecting other people's rights. Next thing you want to write down, if you walk in the Spirit with the gift of mercy, meekness. There's a spirit of humility. You're willing to bear other people's burdens. You're willing to bear other people's criticism if necessary in order to suffer and bring another person through. Now, those are beautiful characteristics of the gift of mercy. But if you're walking in the flesh, let me share with you some of the things that will be in your life with the gift of mercy. Instead of being sensitive, you'll be a very calloused person. That sweet, tender, sensitive person that's walking in the flesh has an alligator hide. Fairness becomes very, very partial. They choose sides. The gift of mercy, walking in the flesh instead of compassion, they're totally indifferent. They couldn't care if you were hurting. They couldn't care if you had a need. Instead of deference, rudeness. The gift of mercy, walking in the flesh, can be some of the most rude people you'll ever meet in your whole life. Instead of meekness, there's going to be anger. Instead of tender, loving mercy, they can explode in a volcanic kind of anger. What in the world happened is the same thing that happens to all of us when we get in the flesh. You know, I can look around this room and I could call out to you several people with the gift of mercy. You know, cancer is just a horrible, horrible thing in our society. Now, this is me. I'm just kind of a skeptical person. I guess I've been burned a time or two. I wonder sometimes if when we give to cancer causes, are we really looking for a cure to cancer? Because when you look at it, treating cancer really generates a lot of money in the medical profession. Am I right or wrong? I'm not saying don't give to the cancer fund and other things like that. But you know what cancer really is? Cancer is just a bunch of cells that don't want to function normally. Cancer is some abnormal cells that they want the blood. They want the nourishment from your body. They want the oxygen from your body. And they want to stay in your body. And they want to multiply. But they don't want to contribute to the normal functions of your body. Now think about this. We have cancer in every local body of baptized believers. We have people in our churches that don't want to discover their spiritual gifts, and they don't want to employ their spiritual gifts. They just want to come. They want to hear the songs and sing the songs and hear the orchestra and the choir and the praise band and let somebody else invest the time to teach a lesson, and you just tune in and out on what you want to hear. And we want everything for our kids and everything for our teenagers, but we don't want to serve and discover our spiritual gifts and employ them in the local church, because we are cancerous members of the body of Christ. Does that make sense to you? That's why 20% of the people give 80% of the money That's why 20% of your people do 80% of ministry in your average church across this nation. Because people don't want to discover their spiritual gifts and employ them. God equipped us with the Holy Spirit, baptized at the point of conversion when you trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. We're part of the body, universal, but we're supposed to be a part of the body of Christ, local. And then He equipped us with spiritual gifts. I want to show you something tonight, and I don't want to embarrass anybody. Do you understand? When I first moved to First Baptist Church, I decided our Wednesday night attendance started growing. We were in a little classroom. We had to move to the sanctuary. And I decided, boy, it would just be great before I preach tonight if we just didn't all divide up in little circles. And if you didn't feel like leading in prayer, don't. But everybody just pray over the prayer list we had. I did that one Wednesday night. We went back down to 20. And some of those people never came back the next 12 years. And we had to move back to a classroom. That's another one of my success stories. I'm filled with them. But I want to ask you tonight, we go over here to Romans. And I just want you to do this. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody at all here tonight. But when we go back here, I want you to look at Romans chapter 12. And here's what I want you to do. Tonight, if you think your gift is the gift of prophesying, spirit-empowered preaching, or teaching, I want you to just stand up. Would you do that? Nobody here. All right? Cancer. All right, we're moving on here. Notice the next gift. How many think your gift is the gift of service? You see somebody with a need, and you just won't go meet that need. Just stand up where you are. We all going to be standing by the end, so don't be embarrassed. Terry Simmons, you should have been the first one to stand. Now keep standing right where you are. Now, if your gift is teaching, and listen, you may have more than one of these gifts, okay? Every Christian's given at least one gift. If you've got the gift of teaching, just stand up. Okay? He doesn't hear well anymore, Diane. And Warren's got the gift to teach him. And you got to do this to him every now and then, okay? And just punch him to see if he's awake. All right. How many of you think you've got you just like to encourage other people? Mm-hmm. All right. Now, some of you don't like to admit this. Now, a person who has the gift of giving doesn't really want credit. And they just see a need. And they want to go behind the scenes. Sometimes the recipient knows who it is, and sometimes they don't. But does it just hit your hot button and your joy button just to be able to give to meet somebody's need? If you don't get up, I'm going to make you get up. Johnny Lindsay, you're one of them that I was going to tell to get up. But Johnny Lindsay's the guy behind the scenes. He don't want to know anybody that he fixed their car and they couldn't afford it. Now, how many of you got the gift of leadership? It's just like to lead. How many of you got the gift of mercy? If you're a mom, you got the gift of mercy. Now, we want everybody to stand. If you don't know what your gift is, just stand up, okay? I want you to look around at this and think about our diverse backgrounds. And God put us together as a local body of baptized believers. And He equipped us in all these other areas so we can minister to each other and to people in our community. We stand without excuse to be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ because He's equipped us and empowered us to use our gifts. Let's pray together.